Hey guys, welcome to the Welding Business Owners Podcast, where our podcasts are late, but our bids are on time. I'm your host, Kevin, with JMW Fabrication. Today we have episode number 2 with Daniel Perea from Apex Welding Solutions. We had a little bit of technical difficulties as I was recording this while I was driving down the highway at 70 miles an hour, but it's all there and you'll get the gist of it. In the episode, we talk all about the mistakes we made in the beginning, the behind-the-scenes teams that we have and are building, what success means to him, and how he all gets started. If you actually want to see the kind of stuff that Daniel does, you can find him on Daniel_ApexWelding on Instagram. You can check us out at Welding Business Owner Podcast, and you can find me at JMW Fabrication. So without further ado, enjoy the episode.
To add to that skill set, it's the ability to problem solve. Because at the end of the day,
100%.
All we do is we solve problems for other people.
Yep.
And if, you know, the old adage, fake it till you make it, is it's kind of true to an extent. Like, if you think about
to
it,
an extent.
I don't know how to do this. You know what? I'm going to problem solve and I'm going to go figure out how to do it. So you can have the skill, you can have the drive, you can have the work ethic, but you have to have the knowledge of knowing when you don't know and saying, you know what? I don't know how to do this. I'm going to go learn how to do it. So like, if you don't own a business, you don't know how to run a business. So you know what you do? You go educate yourself on how to run a business, because that guy who's a really good plumber or a really good carpenter or cabinet maker, he can build
amazing things.
But if he can't learn how to project his cash flow, he's never going to make it. He's never going to understand that, you know, like how to do his taxes and how to think, you know, 2 steps ahead. He can think 2 steps ahead on how to build a cabinet or how to put a roof on. But can you think 2 steps ahead in your business? Do you know how to like price structure things? So like one of the problems I had was as I grew, I would say yes to bigger jobs, not understanding that I need to have like waiting in the background. I need to have enough money to pay my bills for the next 5 weeks, because so the job's going to be 5 weeks and then it's going to be another 4 weeks until I get paid. So I need, you know, 9 weeks of my bills paid just to be, and that's a break even point. And I did not,
that's just barely getting by.
Yeah. I got myself in, like when I first started, I got myself in real trouble because I just didn't, I didn't think that far ahead. But you know what? I was a damn good welder. I was a damn good fabricator, but I sucked at business. And so if, you know, how do you learn that? I don't know. Maybe hearing somebody go through it and being like, oh, that's a really good point. I never thought about that. Or like podcasts, books, anything, you know.
At this point, all the information exists. There's no excuse for not learning. The only excuse is, I don't know. Okay, that's it. Like, I'm ignorant. And that's okay. But here's the thing. A wise man receives correction. When you're in that situation where you took on a job and you're doing the job, you spent the money on the parts, and then it comes back that you're not going to get paid for 30 days, which really is 45 because of weekends, right? Yep. And then it's going to be another 3 days because it's a business check and it takes that long to cash it. And you don't have any cash. Like, okay, I just did that. It sucked. Let me fix it. How do I fix it? I don't know. Ask somebody a question. Ask somebody who doesn't, but we're too proud. We're too proud to ask those questions, especially guys who are already in the business. They're already tradesmen. They won't do it. They won't ask for help. And that's, you know, and we're problem solvers. So we're thinking, well, I could do everything. And like you just said, you are an awesome welder, an awesome fabricator. I'll tell you right now, I'm an okay welder and I'm an okay fabricator. I'm okay at everything. Like I'm not good at any of this stuff. And I'm an okay business owner. I'm actually probably worse than okay at running a business. What I'm really good at is asking questions.
Yeah.
And remembering who to ask. And so I've been in situations for large companies with multiple people. Like I'm there as a subcontractor. They have a whole entire two shifts of maintenance guys. And they're like, this thing doesn't work. And I'm like, okay, let me see it. And a day later, I'm putting a new drive board in a $20,000 machine, and it's up and running. And they're like, how'd you do that? Well, you know, I have snowwork screws. I don't know anything. I know a guy who lives in Lancaster who works on a piece of equipment. I was at a shop 10 years ago, and I called him, and I said, hey, bud,
yeah,
can you help me out? And it took me, again, it took me like 10 years to figure out that I could apply that same problem-solving algorithm, that same problem-solving matrix to running my business. Again, like I hate to harp on Josh at Tradesman's, but Tradesman Experience, but he said to me one day, we were in a counseling, or in a counseling, it was like a counseling session, it wasn't a coaching session. He was like, like he was like fixing me, not my business. It wasn't coaching, it was counseling. But anyway, he said, you know, you're really good at developing client relationships. I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty good at that. He's like, why don't you develop a client relationship with an accountant? Oh, no kidding. I suck at doing paperwork. Sure. It's like, go find an accountant, not just make a phone call, go to their office, talk to them, have a meeting, spend a couple hours, explain what you do, where you want to get to, what kind of business you're in, what kind of clients you have, and see what they can offer you and say, this is where I want to go in the future, and see if they can help you. And then start down that road of relationship with them and call them when it's not tax season. And say, hey, I was thinking about buying a piece of equipment. I was going to buy a truck. How do I do that? I want to do something in between my taxes. I want to get to the end of the year and not have to struggle. What should I do, Mrs. Accountant Lady? And he's like, dude, if they're not the right one, pick a different one. You don't have to stick with a bad accountant for 10 years. Oh, no kidding. I've never used the problem solving that I use on a job site to solve the problems I had in my business. I never thought about it. I was like, duh, I have all the skills to fix my business. All the skills to start something new and succeed and have a good, have like a decent experience. Like, I'll tell you right now, I did not take a paycheck from my business for 8 years, 10 years, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I did not take a paycheck. How did I live? I have no idea. I had no idea.
Taking owner draws when
you take a paycheck.
Yep.
Exactly. It's like, if there's 20 bucks, I take 20 bucks. Like, my taxes, I don't know. I guess they worked out. Like, I didn't owe too much ever. You know, some other contractor was like, oh, I just try to break even at the end of the year, so I don't have to pay the taxes. So that's what I tried. You know, I haven't made more than $200 in 12 years, you know, trying to go buy a truck like that. You can't, you know, you can't get in. So yeah, just using the same skills that you use on the job to solve the problems in your business. It's revolutionary, you know? And this is all like, I don't know. It's all lessons that I knew, but I needed outside help. And I think that's like the last thing in the puzzle of the puzzle pieces is when you're by yourself, like the life of a single owner business without a partner, it doesn't matter if you have 50 employees, the life of an owner, an individual owner, is incredibly deeply lonely. No one understands. No one is struggling through what you're struggling. And people see you driving a diesel truck. They see you having the freedom to take your kids to a soccer game, but they don't see you at 3 o'clock in the morning. They don't see all the little things. They don't see you standing ankle deep in mud in a field with a pile of I-beams that are all wrong. And the general contractor went home to his wife and family, and it's 7 o'clock at night in December. Like, they don't see that. And so it feels incredibly lonely, and you have to have all the answers. The secret is, and the last piece of the puzzle is, you don't have to have all the answers. You need to know how to ask the questions to get the help that you need. And it isn't expensive. Calling an accountant to help you with your taxes, to help you like make business decisions properly, will cost you a couple $100 a month. And you can go work. And if you're working and getting jobs and taking care of your guys, I know that I generate, like me doing what I should do, I generate a several hundred dollars an hour by me doing what I need to do. It's not worth a couple hours of my time to have an accountant do everything for me. Yes, it is. But we need to get out of the mindset of like, I have to do it all on my own. So I have to get some help. I have to build a team. I have to get an accountant. I have to have an insurance guy. I have to, you know, and it doesn't have to be your wife. That's the other thing. My wife doesn't do anything in my business. She and I don't want her to, and she doesn't want to. She could do anything she wants, but it's like, this isn't your life. You didn't pick this. And I know lots of other people are like, my wife is my bookkeeper. And that's great. I love that you guys can work together like that, but I'd rather like go on vacation with my wife or go on a date rather than talk about how much, you know, I have an account receivable. So, but that's just us.
Respect your rates at what you do because you're good at what you do. So why would you not let somebody else do what they're good at? You know?
Exactly.
Like, we are professional fabricators and welders. You know what? I don't want to do taxes. I don't want to. Somebody else is better at that. Let them do it. Because that's something.
And you shouldn't.
That few $100.
Oh, we're breaking up here. Sort of. You're kind of getting choppy.
Getting better now?
A little bit.
A little bit?
Yeah, that's better. Yeah, I can hear you better now. Sorry. All
right, good.
Yep, I can hear you fine. It was just like you went under a bridge or something.
Yeah, I did go under a bridge. So, you know, it's that few $100 that you spend a month on, even a few $1,000 a year, that they should save you that in taxes with their knowledge. Yeah. Like
Time. You're just your time.
Just your time. You know, a good accountant will not cost you money. It will save you money.
Yep. Like I have two businesses and I have a piece of property that my shop is on, and I'm trying to figure out like how one business can pay the other. And I'm trying to make all like figure this out. My accountant's like, look at your schedule of depreciation. We'll do this. We'll do this. We'll write a check here. Write a check there. Done. I'm like, what? All right, cool. Thanks. Appreciate it. Can you do that? She's like, yeah. All right. But you have to build that relationship. It doesn't happen by accident. And I know so many contractors, so many welders, that their accountants are just awful. And they're like, I wouldn't trust my accountant to pay my invoice or to pay, send my invoices and to pay my bills, like to pay my suppliers. Like, I would never trust my accountant to do that. Well, then you need a different accountant.
Absolutely. Like, you won't pay your accountant to pay your suppliers, but you'll pay and trust your accountant to keep you out of jail by paying the correct amount of taxes. How does that work?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, anyway, most of these guys, most everybody, me included, winds up at the end of the year with a suitcase full of receipts. And that just isn't how it has to be anymore. Like, the world is different, and now, you know, and anyone who is unwilling to change, they will fail. It just will take a long time now. And they'll wonder, maybe they won't fail. You know, I have a friend of mine, he's an excavator, and he's a sweet guy. I love him to death. But he's constantly stressed. There's always money around, but he never has it. He's tired all the time, but he just keeps going, doing the same thing he's always done, the way his dad always did. And I'm like, bud, you don't have to live like this. It doesn't have to be this way. You can change. Well, that's my dad's accountant, so I got to. No, you don't. Well, I got this guy working for me. I have this old truck. I got this thing. Dude, you don't have to be like that anymore. You can get help. And if you're unwilling to, that's on you at this point. If you're unwilling to build your skill set, that's on you. If you're unwilling to problem solve, that's on you. If you're unwilling to build a team, that's on you. And there's nothing, I mean, nothing wrong with being a single owner operator. There's nothing wrong with just being a guy with a welding truck or just a guy in a shop. That's awesome if you could do it. But all the guys who are successful at it, they have an actual team behind. They have an accountant. They have a bookkeeper. They have a wife who helps them. They have a guy who helps them every once in a while hang a beam, remove some stuff around. They know a good mechanic who takes care of their trucks. Like, they all have built relationships to be successful. No relationships, not going to be successful. Not problem solving, not going to be successful. And then what is success? You got to ask that question. Because if success is new trucks, well, I know a lot of guys going broke with new trucks. If success is vacations, I know a lot of guys that are going broke taking vacations with flashy trucks and big, you know, equipment purchases. I know tons of guys who are successful that way. But maybe success is freedom or time, you know, like maybe the idea of being self-employed isn't the goal for everybody and shouldn't be the goal for everybody. Maybe just being a really good employee who takes care of his boss and takes care of his boss's company and gets rewarded for it is the right way, because then you can say, hey boss, I'm going to take off this afternoon and go to my kid's softball game, or my daughter's going to prom this year, I want to be there to take pictures. Cool, have a nice day, bud. And he lets you go. Where if you're a business owner, you're like, crap, I'm stuck on this job site, I can't leave, I guess my daughter's going to prom by herself. That's cool. And we're
your
back to our
don't
business
care. Yeah,
you know, yeah, they don't care. We're back to our businesses either serving us or us serving our businesses. And we need, as an industry, as individuals, we need to get away from our businesses being our slave master and get to being able to master our businesses. And if there were, like, think about your area. There's probably a couple other welding shops. There's a bunch of contractors around. And think about if there were the same 10 contractors, but you were all on a relatively even playing field as far as attitude, as far as like integrity, as far as wanting to do quality work. Would you still have to compete with each other? Sure. But you would specialize in your niche. They would specialize in their niche. And it would be much better for the marketplace if we were all on a higher level, if we were all pursuing excellence, not just in our trade, but in our business practices. You wouldn't have larger businesses that are giving us this work who are so mad about it. They'd be more willing to give you some leeway or some grace because they knew you were doing your best, because everybody in the welding trade is doing their best. But that's not how it is. These companies are like, the last three contractors left me high and dry with jobs half finished, with stuff that was faulty, and we had change orders. They said it was going to be 20 grand. It wound up being 40 because you didn't estimate and they didn't. And they're actually dealing with you today as if you were all those guys before. And we suffer because the standard is set so low.
So what is success to you?
For me, that's changed over the years. But right now, success for me, I'll tell you what my old definition used to be. Just from a purely business standpoint, no philosophy or faith involved with it. I thought to myself, if I can get to the point in my business where if I need all four or six tires on my truck, I can just go and drop my truck off the shop and pick it back up and not have to worry, that would be me being successful. Being able to put six brand new tires on my truck and don't ask what brand, just drop it off at the tire shop and pick it back up when they're done. That is success to me, was success to me, like financially. Yeah. Like that's it. Any more than that? And I don't think, like literally, if you don't have $2,500 to spend on an emergency repair like tires on your truck, if you don't have that, you're failing. If you have more than that, you're just marginally better off. Like, you're not actually better off. You just are like, okay, now if my laser table goes down, I get another one. It's the same situation. So, like, that's the beginning of success financially for me. Can I put new tires on my truck and not care? And so that was always my, like, in the back of my mind, definition of success. But now I think for me, success is putting in a hard day's work at whatever I have in front of me, and that thing in front of me matters. Success for me is being able to provide for my guys and my family and their futures. Success for me is building towards, not arriving at, but building towards a future that is sustainable for my family, a future that involves everyone in my family, and I'm not like sleeping in a cardboard box. But yeah, moving towards a future where the work I do is important, the structure we've built as far as a company can exist without me. It can exist in a way where there's a team and a culture built that they take my vision, they filter it through their lens and experiences, and they're able to act on it. And I don't have to worry whether my guys are doing the right thing on the job. I don't have to worry whether my CEO or whatever, my operations manager has taken on jobs he shouldn't. That he knows what we do, how we do it, and he executes. So for me, that would be a future of success. And along the way, along that journey, everything that moves towards that to me is successful. It's not some objective like, well, when I get this or when I get that, because I've already gotten a lot of those things. And it doesn't matter. Like, okay, you have your own shop. All right, cool. You get a truck. Okay, great. You get a tool to do this job. Oh, I want this laser. I want this thing. I've had all that stuff, and it's not helpful. It's just, you know, it's just stuff. It doesn't really matter. Yeah, so that's the long version of success. It's either just tires on my truck or some long philosophical version.
I love it, man. So back it up a little bit. Tell me how you got started. Like, tell me the journey from, you know, wherever you think is relevant, and bring us up to today and how things are structured. Okay. And what you guys are doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll try to do this really quick because my life has been a very odd thing. People, I've explained it in a little bit more detail and they're like, that doesn't make any sense. But yeah, I grew up in a really chaotic environment. I don't want to talk too poorly about anybody in my family or whatever, but like, it was chaotic coming home, not knowing what was going to be in the house or not in the house. Are there going to be people there? They're going to be police there, that sort of thing. I grew up with a brother and a little sister, and things were just very chaotic. In order to control my environment, I kind of just went out on my own. I did my own thing. And one day, a guy, his name is Ward Vreeland. He's basically, well, he is a saint. He saved my life. I was about 13 years old going down. Like, I was very angry and going down like a very dark path. And he was a guy who owned a landscaping company. And he asked me if I wanted to shovel snow over the winter, do commercial snow removal at 13 years old. And I showed up. I said, yes. Is there money involved? Because I like money. He said, yeah, there's money. I'll pay you, you know, whatever. And he's like, I'll call you and pick you up. So he called me and said, we're going to pick you up at 3 o'clock in the morning. We're going to drop you off in West Paterson, New Jersey. And you're going to shovel snow until it's done. Down? I said, yep. And my first night, I worked 27 hours straight, 13 years old, shoveling snow in the cold. And from that moment, I came to the realization that I'm not a victim here. If I do what these guys ask me, they'll treat me like a grown-up. They'll treat me with respect. If they say, go down this road, I'll go down it. And I made a decision at 13 years old. I'm going to be a worker. That's what I'm going to do. I'm not good at anything. I'm just going to work hard. Because if I work hard, I create my own identity. I don't have to be related to my brother. I don't have to be related to my mom. I'm just me. And so that's what I wanted to do. And those guys, I worked for that same landscaper from when I was 13 till the time I graduated college. Well, I never graduated college. I say I graduated college because I went for 4.5 years, but I quit because I had a nervous breakdown. But yeah, because college wasn't for me. But anyway, yeah, I worked there for all those years, 13 till I was 22, 23 years old. And everything I've learned, I learned there. There was no better place. I learned how to weld there. I learned what it meant to fabricate. I learned what it meant to work. I learned what it meant to boss. When I was 18 years old, I had a crew of four guys that were all 30s. convicted felons, you know, like, and I was their boss. And it was a blast. So I learned everything I needed to know about life, business there. And that man, Wood Greenland, and his brother Wayne Greenland, they literally saved my life. And my life trajectory was totally different because of those guys, because of the trades. Through that time, my faith journey started. So I became a Christian back then. I was about 18. And that changed everything for me as well. And I wound up starting a nonprofit when I got out of college, when I quit college, started a nonprofit ministry called Narrow Road Ministries with a couple of my friends. And we moved to Pennsylvania, like 5 hours away into the woods. Now I live in a town that's 400 people. I moved from New Jersey to a place with 400 people. And so did all that, got involved heavily with welding out here in Pennsylvania. Bought a company when I was 26. 25, I guess it was, 25, 26 years old. I bought a company, and that company failed spectacularly very quickly because I like to just say, because it was 2008 and the market crashed, and I was heavily involved in the timber industry, welding for like sawmills and stuff, but really it failed because I didn't know what I was doing. But I kept the company afloat. I never quit. I just worked my guts out. I made $0 for many, many years. Built up a lot of skills and built a lot of relationships. I worked for some great companies like Diamondback Truck Bed Covers, just solving problems. That's what I did. And then got heavily involved in the oil field for quite a few years, rig welding, being attached to rigs, learned to do some drilling, just did anything and everything. If there was something to do, I did it. And then got out of the oil field. One night I was out in a rig, West Virginia, attached to a H&P rig. I walked across the floor of the, or the yard of the rig, drill rig. And there's this directional driller sitting on a porch. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. He's got a little dog. And I say, "That's a cute dog. I like him." And he looks me dead in the eyes. He's about 50, 55 years old. He looks me dead in the eyes. He goes, "Yep. Seen more of this dog than I ever saw my kids," and then went back to smoking a cigarette. And that night I said, "You know what? I am done. I'm not going to be him when I grow up." Yeah. And I quit that literally that day. I was like, "That's it. I'm done." And I finished out my hitch, you know, oil field. You work 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, or 21 days and a couple weeks off or whatever. But I finished out my hitch and said, "I'm done. I'm never coming back here. I'm not going to be him. I'm not willing to give what he gave to get what he got." So I called a few friends, talked to a few buddies. One buddy was like, "Hey, man, why don't you come down to North Carolina and work?" My buddy Jason wound up being, he's now my business partner. "So why don't you come down to North Carolina and work? We build, repair, and modify, move concrete plants." I said, "Sure. Is it welding?" "Yeah, I'll do it." "Is it hard?" "Yep, I'll do it." So I went down to North Carolina, and we started. He already had a business down there fixing concrete plants and doing plant moves and stuff like that. I really loved it. I liked it. It was cool. It's hard. No one else wants to do it, so I want to do it. And wound up coming back to Pennsylvania. I never lived in Wisconsin. I just worked down there. Wound up coming back to Pennsylvania, doing some structural stuff, working for some big concrete or big construction companies, and eventually wound up where I am now with another company and called Apex Welding Solutions. And we fix, repair, build, modify, move asphalt plants, concrete plants, aggregate plants, anything having to do with the quarry and mining industry, metal, non-metal mining. And so we do big, big jobs where we're swinging 100,000 pounds of metal across the sky with cranes. And, just basically anything that needs to get done, we do when it comes to plants like that. So. That's where we are now. Enjoying the business. So.
Well, that's it for this episode. Check back next week for episode 3 with Daniel from Apex Welding Solutions. If you got value out of this episode, please go on your podcast player and give us a 5-star review. It really helps other people find us. Check out Daniel on Instagram at Daniel_ApexWelding. Find us at Welding Business Owners Podcast. Find me at JMW Fabrication. Until next time, get out there, get it done, and get it invoiced.